Welcome everyone to iloverealestate.tv. Great to have everybody here for the morning chat. It's morning where I am anyway. What I thought I'd talk about today is, this podcast is actually for everybody who has got a bit of flair. You know, what do I mean by flair? Well, anyone who knows when they walk into an open house or a display house or something like that, they know instantly what works. You know, this color with that one, the flow of the place, they instantly know. And in their homes, they know where to put the cushions and what kind of cushions to have and all of that kind of stuff. You just know. It's an innate thing. You've either got it or you haven't. And if you haven't got it, you can learn it. But it's, it just comes naturally to a lot of people, and that's male and female, probably more female than male, but it does come naturally to both. So this podcast is for all those people who have a bit of a flair into something. I want to show you just how far you can take that and how much money you can make out of having that flair. Now, to help me out this morning, I have one of my amazing students who has definitely got flair. In fact, I think I've labelled her the girl with flair, because she has she's done a number of different projects. And whilst, you know, she's someone who has the beautiful fingernails and lovely hair and well made up, and you know, she's absolutely gorgeous walking down the street in Melbourne. But you get her on a job site, she's still absolutely gorgeous. But she's got the pink gum, the steel cap boots on, and she's got the nail, the building belt, and she's out there ripping out tiles and in the muck of it. And oh my goodness, has she made some money out of doing exactly that? Now, the lady I'm talking about, her name is Nadia Hart. Hey, Nadia, are you there?
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for coming on the call with me and to share your experience and everything with everybody. Now, let's introduce you first of all. You're married with a beautiful daughter.
I am indeed, yes, my five-year-old daughter, yes.
So you've got a busy life. I mean, you know, you work, you've got a daughter, you've got a husband who runs his own business as well. So I just want to set the scene for everybody. You're not just sitting around flipping through home and garden magazines, are you?
No, never. No, it's very full on, and but I'm probably like a lot of mothers out there, and a lot of wives, and just people generally, men and women alike. We're busy. We're working. We're trying to make an income, and taking care of each other.
That's right. Okay, so let's step back a few years for you, because you're putting your talents into action really came to the fore when you started with your own home. And for a lot of people, I think this is a great strategy where you start with your own home, and you know, you buy something that can be improved and put together nicely and beautifully staged and all that kind of stuff, which we're going to get into detail into in a minute. And then maybe sell that one on when you're ready after a year or so and make some money onto that and move on to another one. And basically that's, you know, that go back a few years, that's really what you did. Let's go back to that first PPR that you bought and just describe what kind of PPR that was.
Well, basically, I wanted to live in a really nice suburb. I couldn't afford it. Simple as that. It's cut and dry. And so I literally bought the rundown dump that everyone said, you can't live in. It's not safe. And I just went, well, bad luck. I need to move ahead and I'll work it out as I go. I didn't have any skills as far as renovating or anything like that. So I bought it to the horror of my family and friends. And
Now, were you married at this stage, or was this one on your own?
No, this one was on my own.
Right.
I knew my future husband at this stage, and he sort of was somewhat horrified. When I told him I bought this dump of a place, he thought I was over-exaggerating. And when he saw it the day I moved in, he was mortified. He was like, you cannot live in this. This is dangerous, Nadia. There's plaster falling off the ceilings and things like that. And I said, yeah, well, you know what? This is what I can afford, and I'll do the best I can.
Yeah.
So I could see through all the rubble and the dirty floors and the junk in the hallway. And I could see what it could become.
So what did you start with back then? I mean, you obviously did a bit of a clean-up and just basically cleared out the rubble, but what did you actually do?
Well, I actually made one room mine, and in that room I had everything from a TV, my bed, my clothes, everything, yep, other than my microwave, because the kitchen wasn't much to go by. But, I cleaned the bathroom, which I had to have acid to use because it had never been cleaned. You couldn't see through the clear glass. Good. So I stripped that and went to Bunnings, found some acid and just cleaned it layer after layer, and then it started with the front room. Mm-hmm. And I went from there, pulling down plaster, got a ladder and sledgehammer, and started bashing.
Wow, okay. No skill, no anything, just get into it.
You see,
that's actually a really good point you made there, and this is a great pointer for anyone who's starting out on a renovation job, is to do one room. I know it may not be the most economical because, you know, you get all your trades in for varying things, but if you can just get one room finished, it is your haven. It is your sanctuary. You can slink back into that room, close the door, put a one of those long snake things under the door so no dust gets in, and it's like, oh, this is what it's all going to look like one day.
Well, that's
it's your
exactly
sanity.
Right. Yeah, and that's how I that was my aim and objective. I was in this horrible room that I just, you know, I used to stick to the carpets when I walked up and down the hallway. So, you know, it was disgusting. I used to pull apart his motorbike on the floor, and he didn't own a vacuum cleaner, and he'd lived there for 30-something years.
Good
and
Lord.
It was vulgar. But, you know, it was literally room by room. And, yes, it wasn't the most economical. And, you know, when I pulled the plaster down and I looked at the wires and they're all shredded with the fabric around them, I went, that doesn't look right to me. I don't think that's the wiring. You know, I rang an electrician that morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, went, I've got this situation, and he came, lucky I found one that could come around, and he said, you need to stop and stop now. You know, you could set, there's no earth on this, you could set this whole place on fire.
Wow, okay. So they came in and did all the electrical work for you. And I guess through all of this time, you were just, you know, you were paying for it out of your savings, out of work, because, you know, you were probably stretched to get into the property in the first place.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, daily basis, you know, I'd be getting up and going to work, be at work by, you know, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Most nights I didn't finish till 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10 o'clock at night. And then I'd come home and get changed out of my pinstripe suit and my clothes and put on my tradie gear and get into it. And that's the way it had to be. You know, even with the electrics, like they came in and I was lucky. I don't think I got stung too badly by the electrician. Felt sorry for me more than anything. And
well, he probably saw you were giving it a go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was just honest with him and didn't try to big note myself of pretend I knew more than what I did because I didn't have a clue. Mm. But at the end of the day, you know, he made it safe enough for me to continue in that room, and then he said he'll come back and finish the job later, but he at least made it safe for me.
Yeah.
So I could continue to, you know, demolish everything I needed to demolish and, just step by step.
Good. So how long did that first renovation job take you, your PPR deal?
It took me just under a year.
Okay, so can I ask some figures? What did you buy the place for?
I bought the place for $332,000.
And can we say what suburb it was in?
Yes, Williamstown. And that's unheard of to buy a place in Williamstown at that price, but it was so bad, little single-fronted Victorian.
Yep.
It was an absolute disaster. But you can't demolish it because it's heritage overlay.
Right. Okay, so you had to physically just renovate. So, and took you a little over a year. Did you get it refinanced or did you sell it at that stage?
I sold it for bigger and better things to move on to the next one. Basically, at that stage, I wasn't sure how to structure my finance properly. I just did the same as everyone else did, just, you know, okay, sell now, move on to the next one. But, you know, I made a nice profit on that one.
What did you sell it for?
$547,000.
And what do you reckon the reno cost you?
It cost me $27,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because you must have done everything yourself.
Pretty much everything myself. Electrics, plumbing, obviously I didn't.
Did you put gyprock up?
Sorry?
Did you put gyprock up yourself?
No, I had a friend help me to do that. But yes, I did. I was hands-on doing that.
Wow. Okay.
So it was hard. I was, you know, it's one way of getting fit. I don't go to the gym. I don't work out, but I renovate.
You go up and down ladders.
No, I stand on 6-foot ladders on the very top of them and smash ceilings down and, you know, stand there on and lift plaster and, you know, I'm a very sore person at the end of the day. But I'm very proud of what I do. I get a sense of achievement, such a huge sense of achievement that it just... It's a wonderful feeling.
I always think renovating is like mowing lawns. Now you might think that's a little silly, but you know, you mow the lawn. I love mowing my lawn. I got a ride-on mower, I might add. I get on my ride-on mower, and you know, you just go there, and you think, oh wow, look at that. That looks really good now. And then you do a little bit more, and it looks even better. And that's kind of what renovating is like, except it's a longer, more drawn-out process.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the financial gain is, it can be huge.
Much better than mowing lawns, yes.
If you're willing to get your hands a bit dirty and you're willing to learn, and, you know, I'm a small woman, I'm certainly not strong, so that's why I probably end up with, it's like having a big workout and the next day you wake up sore. That's what it's like for me. You learn so much, which is rewarding in its own right. You know you're creating a beautiful home for yourself, and at the end of the day when you sell, you're making money. There's no downfall.
And you know what? It's tax-free money.
Yes.
As long as you don't do it as a business. You've got to have a bit of time span in between.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it really is rewarding, and a lot of people go, oh, you know, you're crazy and so forth, but not. For every dollar that I save, it means that I can get into the next place or buy another place now, that's really how my mentality works. And
you've got to a point now where it's almost addictive to you.
It is addictive, it is. But you know what, I'm very particular with a lot of things, and right down to the finishes, I love... design, I love...
So let's talk about that sort of thing, because that's not your career. Well, it is now sort of thing, but previously, I mean, that's not what you worked at. So how did you learn that? Is it something you think you were born with? Is it something that, you know, you've always liked to match things in dress as well as in housing? Or how do you think you got that flair?
I think I was born with it, realistically, yeah. I think I was born with it. Everything has been, I like things coordinated. I like to, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort for me to bring things together and make them look good. So I presume that's, but it can be taught. If you look at enough books, you can do some simple things, you know, color coordinated tones, warm tones versus cool tones, you know.
Do you have any little secrets on anything like that you'd like to share?
Sorry?
Do you have any little secrets on anything like that you'd like to share?
Pick a palette. I don't know that it's a secret. Pick a palette.
People listening are going to say, pick a palette. What's a palette? What do you mean?
It's a colour tone. So it might, whether it be beiges, whether it be greys, and follow that through the entire house. Things should flow. Then choose one colour that goes. So if you're, for example, using pale greys, which is what I'm doing at the moment on one of my houses, some really pale greys, you know, you could use... in certain areas, a stronger version of that than a half strength in the same colour, and use that throughout the house. But don't go too strong. It needs to be a pale colour. But with that, you need to choose another colour, for example, a yellow or a red, and make that your highlight colour. Now, don't start painting all the walls yellows and things like that. It's over the top. Throw pillows in there. But try to use those tones. So if you go yellow in one room, some cushions, and maybe the painting on the wall has a streak of yellow through it. Let things tie together. Then when you move into the next room, there might be just one yellow vase sitting in the corner. Then the next room, you might want to be yellow all through the house. You might go orange because that's a tone that works with the yellow and the greys as well. So it just flows. I think the difference between a good house and a great looking house is something that flows. The layout as well as the colour tones. This, you know, going one colour in one room and then a different feel in another, it doesn't have a flow, and that can make a house, bring a house down, even though that room that's completely different might be, you know, gorgeous. in its own right.
But it doesn't fit with the rest of the house.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
And this is where you know, you can go to courses with this sort of thing. You know, there's TAFE courses, there's online courses you can do, there's a whole lot of, you know, that sort of thing. And, yeah. And you know, you can learn an enormous amount from doing all of that if it's not something that, you know, does come natural. If it is, you know, go and expand your skills. That's fine. And if you're absolutely not, well, you've got to find somebody like Nadia to come in and do it for you, which is okay too. You know, but it's something that finishing, that final finishing is so important. But you get right down into the early stages of, you know, the underflooring and then the flooring and the walls and the, mm-hmm. you know, the light switches and absolutely everything.
I do. Attention to detail. I think sometimes people don't realise why they love a house, and it's those little things make it all come together. You know, it's consistency. It's like, yeah, like light switches. You know, light switches this day and age are so cheap. You know, once upon a time we used to pay a fortune for them. But, you know, you can just have nice, you know, clean lines. And if it's going to be a modern house, make sure the light switches are modern, not just your typical white light switch. You can get, you know, silver ones, you can get coloured ones. I tend to stay with white or silver, usually silver. You can even get glass ones. You know, you have this glass splashback. You can get a glass PowerPoint that matches into that splashback. So why would you make it stand out too much? You want to blend them in and you want them to look stylish if they're noticeable. So, you know, little things, all that. You know, make sure if you're going to use brush metal looks, make sure the light switches have got brush metal. Make sure the switches, the handles, every little bit of metal that's around, it all matches. If you're going to do gold, make sure it's gold, and gold's hard to do with brass. Try to make those flow through the whole house, or else you'll have a bit of a mishmash of things, and you wonder why it just doesn't quite come together. It might not be ugly, it might still look nice, but why is these little things not working together? Yeah. So, yeah, they're simple things just to be consistent is probably the main thing.
Okay, So what? How much time do you spend running around looking in shops and you know, tile shops and those sort of places? Do you go to auctions? Do you mainly look online? What do you do?
I do a lot of looking online. I am one of those people who has subscribed to just about every furniture place, tile place, and so forth. And it can be very annoying when the little advertisement comes in your inbox. But I'll just scroll down. I won't even click through, but I'll just scroll down new products. And it's a few seconds. You're looking at that ad, but your brain absorbs that. So you know there is a product that looks like that. So that happens on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Other than that, when I'm working on a particular project, magazines, I like magazines more than I like online, just purely from a point of view. If I see something I really I like to actually cut it out and I actually put it in a pile. So I'll have a file, whatever the name of the street is, and as I collect things, it might be too early. You know, I might be at plastering stage, but I see a table or a pillow or a light fitting, and I'll just cut it out, pop it with that file. So that I have everything. If it's electronic, I'll do a screenshot and have a file on my desktop for that property, and I'll drop that in. So that when I go to actually, when I need to actually buy that item, I'm not spending hours upon hours. It's just a consistent collection of certain things. Mm. So, yeah.
So you've obviously done a few of these now. How many PPR renovations have you done?
I'm on to my sixth.
Wow. And you're doing one at the moment?
Yes, I'm sitting in one at the moment.
Half finished.
Yes, very much half finished.
The last one you left was beautiful.
Yeah, the last one was amazing. It was probably my biggest and very much my biggest return. Really proud of that one. But at the same time, you know, I put my ego aside and went, you know what, I can do more and enjoy my life more if I go down to a little house. I've gone back to a single fronted little home and, you know, do that up. I'm woman with married with one child. I don't need a four double bedroom, three living areas, so forth. Yeah, fine. One day down the track when I'm slowing down, that'll be fine. But right now, I'm still putting my child through school, and that's not cheap. And you know, we're still building our wealth. So we've come down, put the ego aside, bought a little house, renovating this, and I'll know I'll have good returns on this one as well. I live through the renovation, which. Some I don't have a problem with. You know, you've got to have.
Some people can't do that. Some people don't have the mentality to do that. And I guess that's a point we should make, that this, I guess, isn't for everybody, but for the right person, my goodness, you can make a lot of money out of it.
You can. But also it's choosing the right house, I think. I think a lot of people go, okay, yeah, it can be a great renovator's delight, as they say, but if the layout doesn't work to live in it, that can be a problem. For example, the one I'm in right now, single-fronted, so front bedroom, bathroom is next, then another bedroom. It's only a two-bedroom. It will become a three. Eventually, I'll change that bathroom into a bedroom so it becomes a three-bedroom. So I can keep that bathroom through the whole renovation right to the very last minute. So the rest of the house is a bit of a mishmash of kitchen, lounge and laundry that's sort of open planned. It's hard to explain without seeing it, but literally I have my daughter's bedroom and our bedroom is perfectly fine. Ugly, but perfectly fine. And the bathroom's perfectly fine to live off. Again, quite ugly. But I will finish the rest of the house, so our living area will be in a will be beautiful, and then we'll go back to that. I've already painted my daughter's bedroom and fixed the plastering, that one, but we've still got cupboards to do and things like that and the flooring. But so you can stage it.
Yeah.
You need to be able to have your sanctuary. So, you know, our bedrooms are it, and we still have a working bathroom. So, and it will be a working bathroom right to the very last minute. So I'm going to stage it so that the last room that gets done is that bathroom gets changed into a bedroom. Mm-hmm. So I'll end up having three bathrooms in the house at one stage. So, yeah, so I have the new bathroom, an ensuite onto ours, and then once they're finished, there's no problem about getting rid of the final the original bathroom, I should say.
Yeah. There's a lot of money, particularly in bigger built-up areas, as in, you know, the major capital cities, in buying a two-bedroom, turning it into a three, buying a three, turning it into a four, because, you know, there's a range that, you know, that has value in any suburb, doesn't matter what suburb you pick. There'll be there's a range for two-bedders, and there's a bottom of the range and there's a top of the range. There's a range for three-bedders, bottom of the range, top of the range, etc. And, you know, taking something, say, from the bottom of the range of a two-bedder and taking it to the top of the range of a three-bedder, you know, that's $200,000-$400,000 in some cases.
Correct. Yep, absolutely.
So adding that bedroom is very, very important, you know, from an uplift perspective.
Definitely, and that's something, you know, it does make it easier. I do have one child, you know, there's a lot of people out there with two children. But still, you know, children might have to share a room for a year.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. And I think it's for children, you know, I want to just touch on this because it's a very important thing. People out there are thinking, oh, but I've got kids and, you know, there's no way I'm doing this with children. Okay, your choices are you don't do it, you don't create wealth, or you can do it and, you know, sacrifice for a year. What's wrong with the child actually realizing that it takes hard work to achieve things? My daughter was living in a beautiful home before, you know, we had just finished our PPR and, you know, she's only realizing what she was living in. Now she knows that it takes hard work to achieve such things, and she gets excited. Oh, Mum, can I come to the tile shop with you? You know, I get her involved. Yes. She thinks it's great. I said to her, you can choose the colours for your bedroom. I said five colours, she chose five, and then I took it down to three, then I made her choose out of those three. And, you know, make her part of it, or how many children you've got. You can make them part of it, and then they can get involved, and they feel good because they feel like they've got some ownership in this.
Mm, that's right. And, you know, when your daughter's only fairly young, but yeah. As the kids get a little bit older, you can start to share the numbers with them. And, you know, the budget of the thing and you know, picking this tile versus that tile, well, you know, how much difference is it going to make to the end value versus, you know, the input into it as what's that cost? And actually get them involved in the budgeting side of it as well. Not yet for yours, but she's a bit little. But, you know, when they get over 10, 10 through to 18, that's when they really need to start coming on board with the whole, the budgeting and the feasibility stage even. You know, you say, okay, well, we're looking at this house and it should be a family affair. If we're looking at this house, this is what the cost is, and do the numbers with them over, you know, after dinner and that kind of stuff. It really cements such a wonderful grounding for those kids, and something that is real, hands-on, they can see it, and then at the end of the deal, you know, have a reward that, you know, your child might go to Disneyland, whereas someone, you know, the older children might go to, I don't know, whatever, something.
Yeah.
But there's a reward at the end that they know, well, we did this, and then we had that at the end of it, you know?
I think you're also giving your child... you're giving them an opportunity to secure their future in a positive way, because, you know, my daughter at five, you know, you say too young to know figures and so forth. I explain things to her still at this age, and a lot of it goes over her head, most of it probably. But, you know, when she said to me, if I win the ice skating award, can you buy me something special? I said, yes, sure, no problem, Scarlett. Thinking she's going to ask me for a doll or a dollhouse or something like that.
What did she ask for?
She asked me, Mummy, can you buy me the ugliest house and I can renovate it? I was the proudest mother in the world. My five-year-old asked me for a house to renovate.
Yes, my older ones asked for that too, but no, the answer's still no. When you find one, we'll do a joint venture and you do the feasibilities, and sure, we'll do it as a business transaction. Oh, that was so funny. Okay, so you said six PBAs. How many deals are you actually working on right now?
Do you want me to go through them quickly?
Don't you don't have to say where they are or anything. Just an overview, yeah.
Okay, I'm doing one where I've just finished a reno and I'm building three townhouses in the back of that one, so it's a four subdivision.
This one. That one there is just talk about the renovation on that deal. It was a cosmetic renovation. How long did it take you? How much did it cost? And how much did you uplift the value, do you think?
All right. The reno took 5 weeks.
Yep.
Me and one maintenance guy. And by maintenance, I looked out for a builder. I couldn't get a builder over the Christmas period. So had a maintenance guy come in. And we spent 19 grand. So just rounded off to 20. And we went from the property being worth $450,000 to $500,000, and that's maybe only a 50 grand uplift, but that's after we subdivided it as well. So we lost the land at the back.
And took off three blocks.
Took three blocks off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the uplift on that was huge.
Yeah.
What we did inside that house was basically I painted the four-bedroom house. I added an ensuite, shut part of the lounge room off to make, because it was such a big lounge room, and added a fourth bedroom or study, small but still, either way, it could still be used, no problem. And, yeah, just a, you know, yeah, pretty much that was it in a nutshell. Cleaned up the bathrooms.
So you've got a few constructions going on. You've got another project that you've just settled on or settling on or something?
I've just signed up, so I haven't settled on it yet. It is subject to council approval, so I've got that one going on. I've got another one that I'm doing. Well, we're just going through the prices from the builders at the moment to do a reno on. So that one's down in Geelong. My PPR, and I'm looking at another one again.
So you've got a few on the go, girl.
As far as separate projects, there's four, potentially five coming up. And within those, obviously, there's subdivisions and construction. Yeah.
So you have started. How long ago did you do that first PPR? How long ago was that?
The very first one. Yeah,
very first PPR.
The very first one was quite a few years ago now. About 10, 15 years ago, but then I stopped for a long while. I was had an injury, but not from renovating, so I couldn't work for a while.
Yeah.
And then I had to start up again. So, yeah.
So when did you join me?
A year and a half ago, not even a year and a half ago. You know, it was November 2013.
Okay.
It was the first time I went to a three-day boot camp, and I signed up for Platinum straight from there.
And what do you think has changed for you as a result of the education? I guess before that you were just doing your PPR renos and now you're doing all sorts of things.
Yeah, massive changes. It's all very good and well to buy, renovate. You can only do that so many times. I didn't know how to structure my finance. I didn't know about trust. I didn't know about so many things. I went from being just trying to get the big house and the ego to now realizing I can have a beautiful home. I can have it all just by structuring myself correctly. Yeah. And just there's so many different strategies out there. It doesn't all have to be reno. You don't have to live in it to make money. You don't, you know, you can put granny flats, you can, you know, dual occupancy. There's so many variables that you can work with to make money through property, and you don't have to buy, sell. I can accumulate without having to, you know, win the lottery tomorrow. I can actually accumulate, make money, and keep uplifting those properties that I buy. So,
right, and passive income.
Yeah, and passive income. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, you know, for you, if you were giving advice to someone out there who's considering, you know, whether they should come on board and step up and get part of the I Love Real Estate community, because it really is a community. I mean, yes, I might be the head of it, but it's a community of people out there, you know, learning and helping and you know, really, really making things happen together. What would you say to that person?
If you want to stop working, spend more time with your family, enjoy life more, and have the freedom to work when you want to work. If the answer to those things are yes, step up and join. Look, the reality is that it is hard work, but it's work when you want to work. And you can push it as far as you want to go and make as much as you want to make. It's giving you the tools to do it correctly. I was renovating, but I was making money, but I could have been making a lot more if I had the right tools originally and been taught the right way to structure my finance, to structure the homes that I was doing, the trusts and so forth, and keeping myself secure. It's just my life's changed dramatically. I'm not just thinking I'm going to have to get up and go to work every day, 9 to 5. So, yeah, definitely do it. Get some freedom in your life and control where you want to go in your life. And that's, you know, get that passive income coming in.
I think one thing that helps a lot of people is the ongoing consistent motivation and stimulation, being part of a movement that's doing stuff as opposed to just having negative influences around you.
Look, I don't really talk much to, you know, my family about, as in my parents, about what I do and some of my other friends, because, you know, they just don't understand. But they're looking around going, how are you achieving these results? How are you living this lifestyle and so forth? And it's because they haven't been educated in the right way to do things. Mm. So, you know, you've got this network of people and they're just not people. Like, they become your friends. Mm. You hang out with them. Anytime you've got a problem, you know, even if I can't ring someone, it's in the middle, you know, it's late at night, I'll just pop onto our, we've got a Facebook page, or I'll text someone and go, hey, I've got this problem, or I'm not sure how to handle this, what do you think? I've got a network of a couple hundred people that come back to me. Mm. And you know what? Everyone's trying to help each other. Everyone's there for each other, you know, and that's beautiful. There's nothing nicer than, you know, that positive energy of just going, hey, we're here to help each other. We want to all succeed.
Yeah.
And we'll stand by each other and help each other in any way we can. And I've never been in a situation like that. Yeah, I've got some great friends, some sensational friends, but I can talk to these people about my finances, or I don't have to. I can just situations or problems, or I want to get this property and I don't know how I'm going to quite get there and make it all come together. And people put their hand up and give you their time and energy. And yeah,
I think one other thing is that money's not a taboo subject.
No,
whereas
it's not.
In a lot of our society, money is. It's something you just don't talk about.
That's right.
You know? It's just taboo.
And if you want to go get ahead, you've got to start talking about figures and realization of where you're exactly at. And it doesn't matter how little you have. You can turn that, you know, those few dollars or nothing into something very quickly.
Well, as you and I have both seen, you know, a lot of our a lot of our mates and students in the whole process have started with absolutely nothing. Minus nothing.
Minus nothing, I was going to say.
And, you know, they're out there, they've got passive income, they're turning around, they're starting to do their first deals. It's a great thing to see.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing negative about it.
No.
And that's the thing, you know. Dipno, I have to say, you know, you've changed my life, and without you, you know, exposing me to this, and I'd be in a different place.
I know that this podcast is going to help a lot of people too, because there's a lot of people out there that'll listen to this that will relate to you, that will be motivated by you and inspired to get out and do their own thing. So I'd really, really like to thank you for coming on the call with me today and sharing a little bit of yourself and a little bit of your essence and who you are, and spreading that out to the larger community, and I know it's going to help a lot of people. So thank you so much, Nadia.
Thank you for having me. And, you know, if I can help even, you know, a handful of people out there, then that's great. And I hope I've inspired, you know, even just a few people, because your world will change. And, yeah. And all the best.
Thank you so much, Nadia. And, you know, congratulations on what you've done, and you know, keep it up.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good on you now, and bye for now. And goodbye to everybody. We'll see you again on the next podcast on iloverealestate.tv is the website. Jump onto iTunes and subscribe, and they'll automatically come out to you. I've made a pledge that for the rest of the year, I'm going to do at least one a week for everybody. So stay tuned. Thank you heaps. We'll talk to you again soon. And thanks, Nadia. Bye for now.